Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
I've also like coded this like super basic app that'll just like say random numbers like at 1 second intervals. And then I just have like these numbers like stickied on a wall. So I'll do like 500 or so a day on the wall and like 200 flicks, 200 backhand loops on the table tennis table. And then it gets me close to like 1,000 or 700 extra reps a day that I normally wouldn't be getting. And it only takes probably like 15 minutes total.
Let me just get this straight. So yeah. To become better at pickleball, you invented your own drill and you coded an app to facilitate the drill. All right. Well, Zane gets out of here. If you don't know, and most of you do, we do have a newsletter. That's how we started. It goes out 3 times weekly. Hundreds of thousands of pickleballers read it. Everything from how to improve your game to what's the latest on a pro tour and everything in between. So go to thedinkpickleball.com/signup and subscribe. It's completely free. If you're listening to this and you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe and hit the like button. It really helps. And, you know, if you watch this every week and you haven't subscribed yet, we'd obviously really appreciate it. And then lastly, the pickleball box. Go to thedink.shop. It's a quarterly box. So once every 3 months, you get handpicked gear, apparel, accessories, all sorts of cool stuff. So check that out. That's thedink.shop. And enjoy the episode. All right, Augie, starting with the important stuff from Twitter. Why is your name pronounced Guh when it's clearly written Gi?
I don't know. I guess that's just like the Chinese pronunciation. I don't know. I think if you need like the E sound in Chinese, it's like ends with an I. So like if you see like L-I, it's like Li. But I don't think there's Gi in like Mandarin Chinese.
Wait, can you pronounce it really quick?
Yeah, it's Guh. I'm Augie Guh. And the, okay. The Guh is spelled like G-U-H or pronounced G-U-H.
Yeah, right. Okay, nice. Yeah. That's a big question. All right, we can end the podcast.
Yeah, Twitter will be happy. Hey Shay won't. Hey Shay chimed in on the tweets, dude.
Yeah, and she was DMing, so I got some more good stuff from her. You're her favorite player, I think. Maybe tied with Tyra?
Maybe, yeah. No, I love that she supports me. I don't actually know who she is, but
I don't either.
She's great.
Do you?
No, I don't. Yeah. We go back and forth. I actually don't know whether she likes me or not. I do call her a troll. Like I do troll the troll pretty frequently.
Yeah.
So like we got kind of like a, I feel like we've got like a brotherly love type of of relationship.
Well, I finally met Odoth, so I know who that is. But still, Hey Shay is a big mystery. Mm-hmm. Maybe nice. One day. But all right, Augie Guh, welcome to Pickle Pod. So I'm going to give a little bit of an intro. You tell me what I get wrong and you can fill in the rest. Sound good?
All right, I got you. Yeah.
All right. Let's actually start with a question. Were you born in Phoenix? You've been in Phoenix for a while.
I was.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Born and raised.
Phoenix native, played college tennis for the University of Arizona. I know you guys were just talking about, there's an asterisk there. I saw on your LinkedIn that you played on the table tennis team when you were getting your master's at Brown. So I'm sure that's helped with your pickleball game. You're a notable lefty. You were just drafted number 38 overall to the Dallas Pickleball Club in the premier level draft of Major League Pickleball. You're what Ryan at Pickleball calls the biggest upside pick.
Hold on. Say Ryan's last name.
No.
Say Ryan's last
and
name. We clarified this last week. Say no, Ryan's
no, we
last
didn't.
Name.
No, he didn't, because I went back to watch the episode so I could say it right, and we skipped over it because he said Pickleball.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
And lastly, you're an Arizona Pickleball League champ. Augie Guh, welcome to the pod.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm a big fan of the show, honestly. And yeah, you nailed my intro.
Cool. Nice. Okay.
Appreciate you guys.
Well, Augie, we don't usually get into a whole lot of like, oh, tell me about the first time you played pickleball, but can you give us like a 60-second elevator pitch on how you ended up in the finals of the PPA last week, basically? Drafted to an MLB team?
Yeah, sure. So I was out in grad school on the East Coast, and I was back visiting, and one of my friends, Nico Montoya from junior tennis, we have some mutual friends, and they said that I should come out to this park to play pickleball because Nico plays, and I hadn't seen Nico in forever. So I went out that day, played pickleball, loved it, went back, finished grad school, and then came back to Arizona, and I knew right away that I was going to start playing once I got here. And that was like September 2022. So I haven't really stopped since then. And then recently, like December, I got laid off from my job. And so essentially I've run full time since then. And the extra training has really helped the last few months. And I guess it helped enough to luckily make the finals of the North Carolina PPA. So that's how I ended up there. And here we are.
That's good. That's concise. That was 43 seconds.
Are you cool. the best? Are you the best pickleball player in Phoenix now?
I'm not sure. I mean, we've got a lot of good players. Results might say that I am, but I mean, there's guys that challenge me in practice like every day, and who just sometimes will kick the shit out of me. So, yeah, I try to be, but not always.
I like it. This guy comes on and he swears. He says shit on our podcast. Just so you know, we do have a swear
Is that
jar.
Okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
You just owe us money. Okay. Now.
Yeah, we do have a swear jar. It goes to Stop Alzheimer's Now, and we have ProXR and Game Plus who also match your swearing. So swear away, Perfect. My friend. Thomas
Send
got mad at
Venmo.
Me last time, but I was to be fair, I was wild in a little bit last
yeah,
week.
Yeah, you were on one.
Yeah. So what were you doing for your full-time job between graduation and November when you moved on?
Mm-hmm. I had a couple roles. My most recent role and the one that I love like the most by far, I was doing statistics for a biotech company. And we were, my team primarily was, focused on like using statistics to kind of determine efficacy of the drugs that we were developing. So that was really like a dream role for me, especially coming out of what I studied in my master's, which was biostatistics. And honestly, I never would have quit that job. So I got, it was kind of a blessing in disguise maybe that I got laid off, but I still love that job. So I don't know, who knows how like, which path I would have been happier, but I'm pretty happy now still. So
yeah. So you get laid off and you had solid results before that. You get laid off. Do you immediately start thinking like, okay, I want to find another job? Or did you just say, all right, let me give pro pickleball a whirl?
My immediate reaction was to try to find another job, like kind of in the wake of everyone getting laid off, like our company slashed like 40% of its workforce. And everyone was looking kind of, frantically trying to get their next role. So I was sucked up into that a little bit, but then deep down I figured like it would be probably good to like take a little time off and try to pursue pro pickleball because I knew I maybe had like the skills for it, and I would have definitely have regretted it if I like tried to get into another full-time job that might take away from like my pickleball training and tournament schedule. So
yeah. So what's the thinking now? Like what's the mentality? Is it like I'm gonna go as hard as I can pursuing this pro pickleball thing and see where I'm at like in a year and then decide what I'm going to do? Or are you like all in, or are you like, this is fun, but let's also find a, you know, you got a master's degree from an Ivy school. So, you know, back of your mind, you got to be like, I should probably put this degree to use.
Yeah, maybe. At this point, I think I'm all in. And then I can always go back and get a job maybe in like 2-3 years when some of these kids get better than me and I'm just irrelevant. But, as of now, yeah, I'm going to try to keep going. I'm all in.
Yeah.
You said these kids, how old are you?
I'm 27.
27. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're mature. You're much more mature than me at 28.
I don't think so. No.
So
you'd be surprised.
All right. I think we can get along. We'll see. As a newer pro, did you like you find the game in 2022 when Nico shows it to you? Like, are you starting to, you know, watch pro pickleball, watch some film. Like, a lot of people that we've had on the pod are some of the pioneers, the people who came in when there wasn't really pro pickleball to watch. So do you have somebody or a couple of different people that you feel like you might have modeled your game after, or are you just out there doing your own thing?
100%, yeah. Like that kind of semester, I'd say that from the first time I played to like the next time that I really played when I was still on the East Coast and there wasn't much pickleball to be played, I was certainly following the game a lot. Still kind of like making fun of it a little bit, but deep down I knew it looked really fun and like something that I really wanted to do. I mean, obviously Ben, like he's just so fundamentally sound. He was like definitely like with, I don't know, just all aspects of the game, the flick and the dinking. And then while I was playing table tennis, the flick was something that kind of really resonated with me. So he was always fun to watch. And then honestly, yeah, your name was always in there. Like it was, yeah, I think, I'm not sure if you're still playing APPs at the time. Yeah.
2022, I would have been playing APPs.
Yeah, yeah. So I was watching a lot of those APP streams, and I mean, you're always making championship Sunday. So yeah, it's pretty surreal to be on the podcast right now. But yeah, I always loved the way that you played. You've always been super athletic and really fast. So you're very entertaining. Yeah.
You should see him dance shirtless on a dance floor.
That's something.
Yeah. Yeah, you had your wedding recently, is that right?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. That clip will need to be buried somewhere. I don't even know, where did you see this?
It was on an Instagram story. You restoried it.
Oh, did I? I kind of restory everything.
You're just like, you just look like a zombie.
Oh, I didn't even drink. I was double fisting.
You didn't drink the whole wedding night?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I had like one little glass of champagne, but I didn't really drink. I was just there will be some great film of me out there on the dance floor with two things of ice cream, double fisting ice cream on the dance floor. But
when you were doing the Thunder game, you didn't actually have a drink in your hand.
I was emceeing the Thunder game.
Yeah, but I literally have a picture of you chugging and pointing at the table being like, check. So
all right, so there's two glasses of champagne. I was not at any point even like tipsy.
So they ran around, him and Priceless, his wife, they ran from table to table making everybody chug while we listened to, what's that song called, Thunder by?
Thunderstruck. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, AC/DC.
That's a great drinking game. So right, the game goes, the song says Thunder like 30 times, and every time it says Thunder, you pass it on to the next person, and they have to drink until it says Thunder again. So we had it all planned out. We listened to the song like four or five times to figure out, like, there's one period in there where there's like a minute long where it doesn't say Thunder. And so we're like, all right, we want to hammer that table over there. But
luckily that was not my table. This is a picture I have. We'll throw it up on the screen.
Look at Sean in the background. He's like, oh boy, I'm not sitting back down at that table.
Yeah. But
that's so good.
Anyway, so I don't know how the hell we got sidetracked like that, but
neither do I.
I have a quick question for you.
Shoot.
After you were drafted and kind of your recent performance, did you see, so you're at like 2,200 Instagram followers. Where were you before that? Like before you kind of emerged as a name to watch? I'm just always curious, like what does that translate to on social?
I was a little surprised, honestly, like after the draft and after the finals run, I didn't go up a whole lot. It was mostly like the run with Tyra that I think I gained like maybe 500 followers. So I was definitely less than 1,000 to start the year. But yeah, slowly but surely, hopefully. I got to actually start to put out my own content instead of just reposting everything that people post.
Yeah,
you can get a lot of content that way.
That's
you can get
true,
a lot of stuff that way. Do you have goals like within pickleball other than playing? Like, are you going to try and build more of a like a brand, or is it just like, hey, look, you know, I want to play, I like the play, and whatever comes of it comes of it?
Yeah, great question. As of now, I think it's still very much like I want to play and try to be the best player that I can, but to kind of survive in this industry, especially with like the future of prize money and sponsorship money being just unknown in general. You got to build your brand, right? So yeah, it's always in the back of my mind. I would also be super open to like trying to grow the game internationally. Like my parents are both immigrants from China, so I don't know, maybe helping grow the game out there or something like that would I'd be super open and excited to do. Gotcha. But no concrete plans as of now, just all about plan.
So when did you actually sign a PPA MLP deal?
I signed the PPA deal, I think, the first night of PPA North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah, but we were in talks like since Desert Ridge. So I was glad we were able to get something to go through.
Are you upset that you didn't sign it the last day of PPA North Carolina?
maybe a little bit. But no, I think it still leaves a lot of room for improvement and growth. I'm very happy.
Well, that's going to be my next question. And sorry to ask all the questions, but I'm curious about some of the players who are really on an upward trajectory, right? Like you sign a deal with PPA right now, and you're obviously betting on yourself because you're playing pickleball full time. You haven't gone back to that corporate job, and you're only getting better. Like, how do you feel about locking into some of these salary amounts while your play is still improving? Like, do you structure the deal in a way where you have a lot of upside and you can grow with the contract? I've been curious about that for a little while.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's like a little different. So I'm not salaried. I just like get an appearance fee based on like my ranking it'll be. So that leaves room for upside. And then I might have room to like schedule or to restructure my paddle contract, because right now I'm kind of on a starter contract with Vatic. And hopefully I can also do something that's very incentive based as well. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, my immediate plan is to kind of keep building my stock and trying to get the best results that I can. And to do so, I'm going to, I guess, try to structure my contract such that I'm really incentivizing myself to do that. And then maybe later on, I can try to cash in on like a sort of salary type contract. So something that would be a little more sustainable and more guaranteed.
Sure. Yeah, I was curious about that for a little bit. So,
mm-hmm.
Sorry.
I was a little upset that I missed out on some of like the big contracts that were being handed out like in August. I wasn't necessarily a good enough or well-known enough player back then yet. So, but yeah, still room to make some money in the game.
So do you feel like you then missed the boat a little bit on that, or?
100%. I feel like that. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, to be fair, again, like I wasn't good enough. I'd only been playing for less than a year at that point. So yeah, it was hard to justify giving me a contract.
Gotcha.
To what degree do you credit your success and emergence as, you know, top 50 player in pickleball, number 38, if we're going by the draft, to Hey Shay?
Oh, I owe Hey Shay a lot, honestly.
that was a serious answer. Like, actually.
Yeah, honestly, like, because Tyra said that she didn't really know who I was when I, like, slid in her DMs, so she wasn't really going to play with me. And if she hadn't played with me, yeah, who knows? But I still think I would have convinced Jaume to play with me. And then I had a few more partners lined up that were, like, a little higher profile to try to get some exposure, as well as them being just awesome players too. So maybe it could have made some results then, but certainly like the rapid ascension and like the kind of overnightness of it was a lot of it helped due to Hey Shay. So
right, and
yeah,
it was
big shout out to her.
It was Desert Ridge when you played with Tyra. You went to the semis, lost to Ben and AL. And
yes,
prior to that, you didn't really have any results that would make people say, okay, who is this guy?
Right. No, yeah. Exactly.
And you had DM'd Tyra to play, but she didn't follow you, so she didn't see it. In one of the Discords, Hey Shay, she goes to Tyra, she goes, hear me out, bestie. do you want me to put it in here or in DM? She goes, in here. What is it about? And Heyshay goes, mixed doubles and who you should play with. Tyra goes, ooh, say it. Heyshay goes, and I'm being 100% serious. Augie G. Augie G. All caps, Augie. And then sure enough, you guys play together in Desert Ridge and you make that run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was crazy. I'm like not sure of the timing of that message, because if she said that like before I slid into Tyra's DMs, that would have been insane. But if she said it after, then I don't know, like, did Tyra ask Heyshay about me initially, or I still am like a little unclear about that.
Yeah,
we're gonna need to get this timeline figured out. Let's get Heyshay on the podcast. Can you imagine? Can we get her like a voice changer or something? Yeah.
And like give her like an avatar? I'll ask her.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I think we got to actually do that. Tell her we'll get. Sure. We'll just have Heyshay and friends. So Heyshay, you, me, Augie, and Tyra.
Love it.
So, all right. So you're on sort of like the fringe, right? Like you're playing Arizona Pickleball League. You know, you're competing. You're kind of still on the outside looking in. What content are you consuming? Are you listening to different podcasts? Are you watching different YouTubers? Like, who are the people that you are really like going to for pickleball news, pickleball entertainment, and things like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys for sure. Tyler and Jimmy's pod. Watch a little bit of Tyson's pod, not a whole lot. Some of Jilly B's pod as well. There are a lot of them, but they all have like some unique information. So honestly, I like them all. Yeah, they all bring their own unique stuff to the table.
I feel like Jilly B's pod is just like everybody's guilty pleasure pod. Nobody wants nobody wants to admit it, but like we've all listened to a little bit of Jilly B's pod.
Yeah, right.
Totally.
She hasn't called anybody out recently. I think she needs to get back in the mix. Burn some shit down, Jilly B. All right, so you did play in Arizona Pickleball League, which is a bit of a unique format. It's like really cool production, unique concept. What are some of the, and Chris Calley wanted us to ask you this. And he's from Sorry Not Sorry Pickleball. What was your favorite part of the APL format? Is there anything you think that could be borrowed from Arizona Pickleball League and applied to Major League Pickleball, PPA Tour, etc.?
I think it's hard to say, but my favorite part might have been like the set breakers, honestly, and just how every match you can still come back and win the match in every single set. So you can have lost three sets going into the fourth set and still come back and win. So that's almost what happened against us in the finals there.
Wait, can we back up and explain? Would you mind explaining the format for everybody?
100%. So there's like two halves, and each half consists of two sets. So the first half, the two sets are mixed doubles. And if you split the mixed doubles, you put your quote-unquote best team out for the set breaker, which is like a rally scoring game to five, or not rally scoring, sorry, just a single side out game to five, win by one. And then if you get that, you get the first set, or the first half. And then for the second half, gender doubles, women's and then men's. And then if you split that, there's a coin toss. Whoever wins the coin toss gets to choose if it's men or women for the set breaker in the second half. And then if you win the set breaker, or if you win both of the sets, then you win the second half, and you need two halves. You need to win both halves to win the entire match. And then if you split halves, we do like a dream breaker just to 15 singles. Yeah.
Gotcha. Interesting. I did see some stuff from Patrick talking about how the fourth game always matters, mm-hmm. right? You're never playing a dead sort of game.
Yeah,
no, exactly. And then, like in the finals, we had won all three sets going into the fourth, which was men's doubles. And then me and Craig lost to Michael Lloyd and Patrick Kofka. They played pretty lights out. And then we went into like a set breaker. And yeah, we had to get that. Otherwise we would have gone to Dreambreaker. So it just kept it really exciting all throughout, even though we kind of felt like we might have dominated the entire match, when in reality we really didn't. So
yeah, because you could blow out three matches in a row, lose the fourth, and then you're in a set breaker, and the set breaker at 5 points rally scoring, right?
5 points single side out scoring.
Single side out scoring. So I mean, that's pretty, 5 points single side out can kind of go either way, and then you're in a dream breaker already. That is wild. That keeps it pretty close.
Yeah, yeah. So I probably somehow engineer that into MLP where like there are no dead rubbers, like a 3-0. You don't know if you're going to play the fourth or not. That would maybe make it a little more exciting, but I like MLP's format as it is already too. So, yeah.
Gotcha. So on a different note, unless you had anything to add with Arizona.
No, go for it.
On a different good note, transition. Like, yeah, it was real seamless. So you and Jaume had a really good run last weekend. You beat Matt and James, right? And then any other big wins in that run? Fed and Pablo, right?
Yeah, in the quarters was Callan and Hayden.
Gotcha. So oh yeah, that was a barn burner match too, wasn't it? That was a really close match.
Yeah, it was
match.
Crazy. Yeah, they had I think 3 match points. It was super tight all around. But sick run for Jaume and I for sure.
So are you locking Jaume up for the rest of the year, or what do the partnerships look like for you?
Yeah, no, trying to. We were both kind of booked until the second half of the year, and then we're definitely going to run some in the second half of the year. But yeah, I think I'm going to play the Los Cab with Connor Garnett, and then got a few scheduled with AJ, and then a few more with Travis. So I'm also really looking forward to those.
Nice. Okay, and then second half, mostly Jaume?
Yeah.
Cool. What about mixed?
Mixed? I'm not really sure, actually. I've had some partners, like, been in talks. I'm going to play Los Cab with Tyra and then Red Rock with Mari Humberg. She's someone who I think has insane upside as well, and I love playing with her. She's a beast on the left, so which is, like, kind of rare on the women's side. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, hopefully can play more with her as well. But... it's still relatively open on the mix side.
Gotcha. Yeah, mix is always, it's always a little tougher. I feel like the partnerships are longer for the most part in mixed. I feel like a lot of people lock in like, hey, we're going to play the first half and have more consistency than even the men's dubs seems like the most switch around partners, then probably followed by mixed and then followed by women's. It seems like women don't switch around partners nearly as much as the guys do. So it's a little tougher to break into mixed for the guys.
Yeah, 100%.
So your bestie wants you to power rank the lefties on tour. So the people that came to mind were Lung.
No. Don't give him anything. Let's see what he comes up with. And then we'll go
there. I was just going to name them all the lefties. All right, but yeah, go ahead.
Wait, all do right, you mind yeah, giving no, no. all the lefties?
Yeah,
I don't want to leave
lefties.
Anyone out.
Okay, go, yeah.
No. It's even better if you leave him out because then we'll say him afterwards.
Oh no. who's my bestie, first of all?
Oh boy.
That's tough.
You just went from favorite to least favorite potentially.
That's tough.
Brutal.
Welcome.
That was a mistake. power income. That's tough. I don't want to hurt any feelings, but
all right. Well, we can give the names. We'll give you the name.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. I'll... That's great.
We got Lung, you, Rafa, Pablo, CJ Klinger, Jack Monroe, Martin Emmerich, and Altoff.
Okay. Oh, no Stefan?
Oh, yeah, Stefan too. Shit. Forgot about that guy. I asked him to play.
No, he's fresh on my mind because he just kicked my butt first round and mixed. So, no, but he's a sick player. Powering. Okay. I think first it's between Lung and Pablo for sure. So I'll give them 1A, 1B. And then I think CJ is firmly the next best. Some could argue that CJ is even better, but it's tough to say. And then, who are the other names again?
Rafa, yeah. Pablo, Altoff, Rafa. Jack Monroe, Martin Emmerich.
And then I think Stephon. Jack, and then, that's tough. I love Jack. I think Jack is just as good as CJ too. So I'm kind of cheating, but 2A, 2B, Jack and CJ. And then Rafa, gotta go with Stephon. And then no disrespect to Altoff. He's a goat. He's an OG. but yeah, maybe then Altoff.
Oh man,
that's tough.
The correct answer was Altoff and then everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You messed up.
I did, big time.
And you forgot who your bestie was.
Yeah.
That was a rough segment for you.
That is sad.
All right. In a recent
I throw Pesa in there too.
Oh, yeah.
Pesa
Tanner. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's that dude hits the crap out of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He does. He's a freak.
In a recent post-match interview, you were talking about your unorthodox training style. We had a few people ask about that. You even mentioned it yourself. Give us mm-hmm. a lowdown there.
Yeah. So I do like a lot of traditional stuff like drilling and training and whatnot. But I guess this is kind of like birthed through when I was working full time and I would just like take little breaks at home. So I do like a lot of stuff on the wall. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen like Cara Black do her crazy forehand backhand like volley drills on the wall from way back in the day, but that was like a viral video, a viral tennis video back when that was barely a thing. So then I kind of just mimic that a lot, and then I'll do some like offhand stuff too with that. I had a trainer one time who told me that there's a study that said like offhand training can like advance your cognitive like activity, or I don't know what the word it is I'm looking for, but yeah, so I do that. I have yet to find the study, so maybe he was lying, but I do some right hand stuff on the wall too. And then I do like a lot of table tennis training as well. Like I have a table tennis rebounder, which is basically like a wall, and I just hit like a bunch of backhand flicks to kind of improve my eye tracking and my technique on the flick side. And then I've also like coded this like super basic app that'll just like say random numbers like at 1 second intervals, and then I just have like these numbers like stickied on a wall, and I'm just like touching the numbers as like I'm hearing them. So I think that kind of maybe helps my reflexes as well. But yeah, it's all about like reps for these kinds of drills. So I'll do like 500 or so a day on the wall and like 200 flicks, 200 backhand loops on the table tennis table. And then like 3 minutes or so of like that reflex number thing. So, I mean, it gets me close to like 1,000 or 700 extra reps a day that I normally wouldn't be getting. And it only takes probably like 15 minutes total. So that helped a ton when I was still working full time.
Let me just get this straight. So yeah. To become better at pickleball, you invented your own drill and you coded an app to facilitate the drill.
It's super basic. Like I just asked ChatGPT and it just gave me all the code, really. I'm like not much of a programmer, but like I saw some training on YouTube one time of some guy doing some reflex stuff, and the guy was just like shouting like numbers or different shapes on the wall. So this kind of mimics that. And then like I've seen there's like a reflex, like you see the things at arcades where like the light lights up and you press the button. Just try to mimic stuff like that, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
All right. I have a personal question for you both here. Personal to pickleball. Do you train your grip switching at all? Are there any drills that you practice? Like, so for example, lately I've been playing and I'll get caught in continental or semi-western at the kitchen line, and then a hands battle ensues. I've got the winner, but I'm like stuck semi-western and I send it long or put it in the net. And being able to switch and know when to switch is something that I found to be a challenge, especially when you play at higher levels with like faster exchanges. Anything you guys do to train that? Is that something you think about?
You first.
I don't. No. Like, I think I got all of that just from playing junior tennis. So I don't really think about it, to be honest, like at all.
How much do you switch grips? Like, take us through the different grips that you use.
Yeah, I think I'm one of the few who uses like a continental grip on my drive. So I use like the same continental on my forehand and backhand drives from the baseline. So there's no switch there. The only time I really switch is like when a forehand dink gets behind me, and like I'll kind of shift it over to like scoop it a bit, and then I'll shift it the other way, or no, actually the same way for the backhand flick, just to get a little more leverage and spin on it.
Oh, okay. So the ball, you see the ball floating to your backhand, you know you're going to flick it, and you do have a little bit of a grip change?
Yes, yes. Very slight.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say for me, I'm switching grips generally only when I have a lot of time. I don't actually change my grip for a backhand flick. I still feel pretty good. I play pretty continental from the kitchen line. I will change it over. I change it to almost a pretty heavy semi-western for forehands, but that's from the baseline.
Oh, really?
I've got plenty of time to do that and then switch back to continental up at the net. I do switch over to the tomahawk shot, but again, that's only when I have a lot of time, right? I'm only hitting tomahawks from probably like chest and above. So if I'm hitting a ball from chest and above, it means that it's coming at me slowly. If the ball is at my chest and it's coming at me quickly, that means it's going out. So I really only am changing grips when I have time. But there are plenty of players who do change over for a backhand roll. I would not be the person to ask how to quickly change your grip for that. Augie's obviously better there, but sounds like
just
it's
a little
just...
bit, maybe like early recognition, I guess. And I don't even do it every time it's like slow. I just do it when I'm like certain that I'm gonna flick it, which is not often. So even when you're speeding up, like off the bounce from the kitchen, you're back to continental, Zane?
I'd say if it's a really dead dink, I might change over to a, if I have a ton of time, I'll change over to a semi-western. But I also do a decent amount of them from continental as well. I think it helps for me that I sort of hold a two-handed ready position a lot. So after I hit that shot, I try to come back to ready, and having that left hand on there again helps change the grip a little quicker. I'm not changing the grip generally only with the right hand. It comes from sort of twisting it with the other a bit.
Oh, I got you.
This is some good nerd talk. Okay, we're gonna keep it.
It's very technical.
Yeah. Well, I mean, speaking of nerds, Augie, I hear you got a perfect score on the SAT.
No, just the math.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
yeah.
That's
and dope. I just hate that this fact has followed me, honestly.
Why? That's
we'll make sure it goes away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, all right. Nerd talk. You did say something in the table tennis. First off, I have a lot of opinions on table tennis, but you mentioned two things: flick and loop. Are those somehow different, or are those the same shot? And are they used in the same way? Are they used to describe the same thing in pickleball?
Yeah. So I might have like misspoke kind of. I'm not sure that flick is necessarily a super utilized term in table tennis. I could be wrong. It's more so the loop. Okay. But the loop in table tennis translates directly to like the flick in pickleball.
Gotcha.
And I've said this like on other podcasts before, like when I was playing table tennis,
slut.
I never,
yeah, there aren't any,
yeah,
there
yeah,
aren't
it's
any
like
others.
My seventh one, but, no, it's like, I was more of like a backhand puncher when, I played. So I would never really try to create a whole lot off my backhand, but I would like kind of counter. So that's one thing. That's another reason why I do like the table tennis rebounder stuff was to like train that kind of motion that I just never had before, which was like getting the paddle face down and then lifting up like that.
Gotcha. Okay.
Back to my nerd question, another one related to my recent experiences. So I think I first noticed this. I was playing against Jay DeVillier, and if he is at the kitchen and you're trying to like hit a third or a drive, he'll play it and you're at the baseline. He'll not only like roll, if it's a backhand, roll it, or forehand too, but he'll put extra emphasis on it, right? With his wrist, you let the wrist go limp, you loosen your grip pressure, and you really add this like extra flick to it. So you're not only trying to get depth, but you're giving the ball a kick when it hits the ground. I'm starting to see more and more players do this. Ed Ju just had a really good video on it on Instagram. AJ Kohler's really good at, you know, using that wrist action. But is that something you guys are thinking about? I feel like I'm just encountering it more, where people aren't just rolling the ball back. They're like really putting some like nasty spin on it. And I don't know. I keep noticing it more and more, and it just makes your thirds that much harder.
Yeah. I think any time that you can do any extra thing to get like a little extra spin on a fourth ball, you're going to do it. And like more and more people are kind of getting comfortable with that technique of overemphasizing the follow through and the drop down. And I've actually done that as well more recently. So, yeah, that's a good pickup from you. Yeah. It's effective for sure.
Not now I'm trying to do it and I just errors on errors. I should just try and get the ball in.
You'll get it. I think, start like doing it slowly, like, hitting the ball slow off the paddle, and like you might get countered from the midcourt every now and then, but just to really work on the technique.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We had one Twitter user ask, are you single and how tall are you?
Ooh.
Is this Hey Shay again?
What? Yeah.
Elwood?
What's their profile picture look like? No.
Or upside down. doing some parkour.
I'm single and I'm 6'1".
Damn, I just got married, so I'm off the market. But
you guys recently played each other, and Augie, I think you came out the victor in that. Is that correct? Where was that match?
Craig carried him.
Craig did carry me big time. Yeah, that was a first round of Mace PPA, or second round for us. First round.
Who were you playing with, Zane?
It was me and Christian.
Oh, that's a good win. So when you come up against a Christian and a Zane, what's a game plan? How do you map that going into the match?
Yeah, we just knew kind of what to be ready for. I maybe hadn't seen Christian enough to kind of know where his vulnerable spots might be. But I just know that with whoever like we play with, we do have some range to work with, because Craig and I have like hand speed that can kind of rival like top guys, I think. So as long as we know what to defend and counter, I think we can like work our way into matches and kind of get going. So I feel like, yeah, we really started to find our groove in the second game there, on top of Craig just playing the best pickleball I've ever seen him play.
Yeah, no, you guys played, we didn't know what to do, like playing aggressive, uh-huh, didn't really work. Playing passive really didn't work. Playing pickleball didn't work too well. Like, it was, you guys just, we did not have answers for you guys in that one, but we want a rematch.
That was a fun one. We want a rematch. No, we're ready. We're
you
ready.
Guys had a the good crowd, hometown crowd too.
The home crowd was worth at least 8 points that entire match. It helped us so much.
Yeah, that was a good match. That was a good match.
Do you remember the very first time we played, Zane? Maybe not.
It was on one of those like lower courts in Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Didn't you, was it like you and Michael Lloyd? Yeah, you and Michael Lloyd, yeah, versus me and Thomas Wilson?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a good memory.
I do remember that. I remember that because that was the first time I had seen you. And then I was seeing if the referee was paying attention on Michael Lloyd's little spinny serve thing. And me and Michael talked afterwards and agreed that she wasn't.
What was he doing? Yeah, something, maybe. not like a chainsaw, but something.
No, he was doing a big slice serve, and he does this slice serve. So you really only need to be swinging upwards at the point of contact, but the guy's starting his swing from all the way up here, chopping down at it, And there's an argument that to be made that it could be that he could have been swinging upwards at the point of contact. But the referee just had no idea what I was actually asking about.
That would be illegal now with
the... No, it's still legal. As long as you're swinging upwards at the point of contact, that's still a requirement of the new serve rules. So.
Got it. Okay.
That's part of the reason why I remember that one.
Yeah. No, that's insane memory. Yeah. I just thought I would be the only one who remembered that because, like, that was, yeah, that was relatively new. So.
And I think you guys got up pretty... I think we had like two very close games that you were up in both, something like that.
I think we were up like maybe even 9-8 in the first. And yeah, we were really excited. I got a little tight for sure. And then maybe up early in the second, but second was like you guys just, yeah, figured it out towards the end.
Gotcha. Yeah.
All right. If you guys don't know Warstick yet, it's, in my opinion, the best branded paddle in the sport. Go to their website. Actually, just go to their website and check it out. It's warstick.com. Look at the designs and tell me those aren't the coolest in all of pickleball. They also have some really cool pickleball bags. Discover Warstick, the sporting goods powerhouse known for its top-tier baseball gear and now offering an extensive lineup of premium pickleball equipment. From the court to the field, Warstick's pickleball paddles are unmatched in blending artistry with high-performance design, with options for every player, whether you're a casual enthusiast or a competitive pro. Don't forget to check out the stylish premium bags, perfect for hauling your gear in style. Shop now at warstick.com. It's not the weapon, it's the warrior. Okay, all right. So how are you feeling about your Major League Pickleball team? And then, I guess, precursor to that, were you surprised to get drafted in Premier? Did you have a pretty good idea that you were going to end up on a team in the Premier level?
I was always like really 50-50 on if I was going to be Premier or Challenger. I had some GMs tell me that they think like I'm going to go Premier, and then some Challenger GMs were preparing for me to like fall to Challenger, and they were going to pick me up relatively early. So I had no clue what to expect. I was definitely very pleasantly surprised when I got the call. And like I hadn't spoken to Dallas at all, so even more surprised there.
You hadn't spoken to Dallas at all?
No.
You have now, though, I assume?
I have now, yes.
Just making sure.
Yeah, I love my team. Yeah, JW and Georgia are insane, like an insane mixed pairing, and both individually, like the best gender double, some of the best gender doubles players that there are. And then I have really good chemistry with Tyra. She's like one of the best left side girl options. And so I'm imagining that I'm going to play mixed with her. And then, yeah, J-Dub and I just only recently played him for the first time at APP Miami. And him and Dylan just worked me and Patrick Kafka. So it was good to see. But I guess I showed him enough stuff for him to vouch for me a little bit. I'm really pumped. I'm super happy with my team.
Yeah, you have two solid mixed pairings there. So Eric Tice, our analyst, gave you guys an A+, the only A+ in the draft. So he's pretty high on you guys. So when you were drafted, where were you? Who was around you? What was that moment like?
We were hanging out at Craig's Airbnb in North Carolina. We had our friends, Pessa was there, Angie and Alex Walker were there, some other local Arizona people were there as well. So it was like a really special moment. Like we all got super pumped. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you have any siblings?
I've got a younger sister. She's about to graduate from Arizona State. She's actually moving to Austin to do some supply chain stuff at Applied Materials. So she's pumped to move out there.
Are your parents pretty into pickleball? Are they watching a lot, following your journey?
They're following a lot now. They weren't so much when I was working, but now that it's my job, they're a little more invested. Now they like know who all the players are and stuff, so that's fun to see. And they're the ones who like kind of got me into tennis, so they would play a lot recreationally, and so they love playing pickleball as well. They don't play it all that often, but when we play as a family, it's really fun.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And you played for Arizona tennis, but I think you were talking before the pod where you're maybe more of a practice player. Did I hear that correctly? I kind of came in the middle of the conversation there.
There was nothing we talked about. He was kind of a practice player-ish on Brown's table tennis team.
Oh, that's what you're talking about. Okay.
All right. But yeah, also at Arizona. So I actually, the very first school that I committed to was the University of Louisville in Kentucky. And I was actually only there for like 1 week, believe it or not. And then I left. And I think relatively recently that coach like got fired for kind of mistreating players. So I don't know, that kind of goes without saying what happened. Yeah. But then I transferred to New Mexico and played there. My freshman year, we had like one of the best New Mexico teams that we had had in a while. So we were like top 40 in the country the entire year, made NCAAs. And I was in the lineup there. So that was a lot of fun to get to play my freshman year, like some relatively impactful college tennis. And then sophomore year, we weren't as good, but I got to play a little higher. And then I guess I wanted to be a little closer to home, so transferred to Arizona and had to redshirt that year, which really sucked. And then my senior year, I ended up actually quitting because I was doing, like, school just got a little too tough. I had had a few extra classes that I had to make up from the transfer, so had kind of a packed schedule and just wasn't meant to play my last year. But I'm glad to be competing again. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. All right, we've got a packed schedule here for April. So you played the North Carolina Cup. Are you going to play Houston? You mentioned you're going to play Los Cab. And then what about Red Rock?
Yeah, no Houston for me. Got a really close family friend's wedding in the Bay Area that my family's attending. And then going to drive out to Los Cab. And then from there, going to drive probably straight to Red Rock, maybe stay a night or two in Vegas. And relax a little bit there.
But, what are you gonna do in Vegas? You gonna get weird?
Oh yeah, for sure. We always get weird. No, it'll be a good time. Probably just eat a lot. Might go to the casino a little bit. We want to play Padel. There's like some Padel courts out there, and we're really close with Patrick PK, so I'm sure he's gonna try to hook us up.
Have you played before?
We played one time in Miami APP. PK and I had like a really bad day, and he was just like, dude, I just need to go hit some balls and let go of some anger. So we recruited Jack Monroe and our boy Kaden Nemoff, and we had a good time. We played for like 2 hours, and it was so fun.
Did you go over to that place Reserve?
No, it wasn't is that where like the party kind of was, where like a lot of people
went? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's like on the water there in downtown Miami. It's really cool.
Yeah, weirdly enough, we didn't. Like, we didn't even know about it. We're just not cool enough. but PK knew a spot from, like, when he was playing pro padel. It was, like, an indoor facility. So
nice. Okay. Yeah. Oh, so that's his background. Mm-hmm. That's Patrick Kafka, or is this somebody else?
Yeah.
Patrick Kafka.
Okay.
He was, like, a sick tennis player before playing padel, too. Like, he played one at BYU, and he would, like, I mean, he beat their UCLA's number one player, like, twice. And he was always like a problem for sure. Yeah. He's going to be, I mean, he's already there, but he's got a lot more to go.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Padel's, I'm in on Padel. Yeah. It's pretty fun.
We'll have to start a Padel podcast too. Let's do it.
I'm in. PK. I'm in. We're thinking about it. Are you playing, any PPAs the rest of this month?
Yeah, no, I'm playing all of them. I've got Houston, Los Cab, and Red Rock, weekend off, and then Atlanta PPA, Atlanta MLP, honeymoon. Yeah, so I've got like 1 week off for the next like 6 weeks. It's a grindy time of year.
Yeah, right. That's a lot of pickleball. Are you gonna do any APPs?
No, I'm not doing any APPs.
No APPs.
I'm not. Yeah, that's there are different deals circulating around. I'm not able to play APPs.
Got it. Okay. All right. And you signed your deal with PPA and your MLP. So no APPs in your future, I assume.
Yeah, correct.
Got it. Okay. All right. What else you got, Zane?
I mean, there were a handful of interesting upsets over in North Carolina There's a lot, kind of a lot going on over there. Ben's back triple crowning. Anna Lee got her 100th tournament win. And I wanted to ask.
100th gold medal.
100th
right?
gold medal. Yeah. Well, tournament win, gold medal.
Yeah. Okay.
More or less. Same thing. Is anybody else ever going to win 100 pro pickleball titles ever?
I could see 100 titles. The Triple Crown record she has, I think, is much more harder to attain.
I wonder how many titles like the top tennis players have, like titles, right? We're talking about Novak Djokovic has what, like 23 majors?
Yeah.
That's majors. He's probably got over 100 titles. So that might not be an unrealistic amount of titles, right? But also, is she 18 yet? She's 17 still.
Yeah, she's
so you've got to think she's got like at least a handful more.
Right. Yeah, that's insane.
And obviously like at least one MLP title this year too. So
I mean the yeah, like pickleball is one of those sports in that like, you know, you can go pro at a pretty young age and you can play for a long time. So if you're one of those top players, like an Anna Lee, I mean, you could medal for like two decades almost, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. It's honestly kind of scary to think about. Like, what if she gets to like the 500s?
Yeah.
That wouldn't be insane.
She could. I mean, she very well could, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So let's factor in that she's going to be around for at least, you know, I would imagine for a little while. Do we think that Anna Lee, she's currently the GOAT, of course. Do you think she will, based on her trajectory, always be the female GOAT of pickleball?
I mean, isn't the, you guys tell me, isn't the disparity between her and the next person just like pretty vast? Like, she is clear in a way, far and away, the number one female in all categories. I mean, is anybody close to her in mixed, women's, or singles?
Closer than previously, but you know, you've got Anna and Catherine that are, you know, not as good as Anna Lee, but somewhat closing the gap, but she's still noticeably better.
Right. And she's getting better, presumably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm calling it right now.
Yeah,
there's never going to be a female pickleball player that wins more titles than Anna Lee.
Yeah, I don't think that's that hot of a take.
It's not, yeah. But like, yeah, I'm sticking with it.
Augie, have you played against, have you played against her yet?
Yeah, we played her in that semi in Desert Ridge. And I don't think she played her best, and she was still very, very good.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they beat us in straight games. She's just pulled out some shots that, like, I've never seen before, really. Like, right. She had this insane angle drop from, like, a deep, good deep return that we hit, and it was, like, almost a winner on me. And I was already at the kitchen line. So, yeah, she's excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you guys look at it, we don't really talk about this much. We just kind of like accepted she's as good as she is, but we don't really talk about, like, to your point, some of the shots she's hitting or what she's doing differently. But like, what's your assessment of what makes her so good?
I think first and foremost, like, her ball striking and her power and like hand speed, I think, are really good. Like, it's hard to attack her at all. Even as the guy. And then she can really create, when she's playing the right, she has like the inside out two hand backhand off the bounce that's just almost impossible to really defend or work your way around. Like, she almost kind of makes you play out wide
right
to her forehand, but then her forehand is so strong too. She's just got a lot, and her athleticism is off the charts. Yeah, she's just pure. I don't know.
I'm going to add her pattern recognition. So whenever she speeds the ball up, she really seems to know exactly where that next ball is coming pretty much every time. She sees the court really well and knows, I feel like she can see exactly where somebody's weight is moving and maybe go behind them. Like, so I think that she sees the court really well and has unbelievable pattern recognition on top of what Augie said, which is the hand speed, the clean ball striking. She's always hitting the ball. And I don't ever really see her like mishit a ball.
Yeah, agree. No, her combos are just absurd. Mm-hmm. She just has her way whenever it's like a dead or slightly attackable ball. She's going to take advantage every time.
Augie, are you one of those players who, like, let's just say you're not going to be at a tournament, right? So you won't be at Houston, but are you going to be watching? Are you going to be like glued to your phone, checking results, watching matches?
Maybe not glued, but if ever like I have some downtime, I'm going to be on the stream for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a pickleball junkie.
I love watching. A little bit.
Yeah.
Not as much as Craig though. Craig, like we were at, in the Masters in Palm Desert and, he was driving and he was like multitasking. It was slightly dangerous, but
yeah,
he's addicted.
Yeah. I mean, Zane, you're not tuning into tournaments when you're not there too much.
I don't really watch pro pickleball. To really? Be quite honest. Yeah. No, I definitely watched a lot of pro pickleball over the years, and I had the, you know, when I started playing better and started playing at what would have been, I guess, a pro level back in like 2018, 2019, there weren't like week in and week out streams. So I did watch like a ton of YouTube videos of Ben, Matt, Kyle Yates, Simone, you know, Corinne Carr, like a bunch of the OGs. When I'm at a tournament, I'll watch some in person, but yeah, I don't watch a tremendous amount anymore, to be quite honest.
That's good.
This is what we're going to do. Augie, there's a few voicemails that fans left for you, so we'll play those. You can react to them, and then we can wrap it. But in future episodes, this number that we put out there, we put on the graphics, we promote, like you can always call in and leave voicemails, whether it's for the guest or just for one of us at any time. So call in, leave voicemails. And if we like them, because we don't respond to all of them, some of them are, we can't play. But the ones that we like, we think are interesting, we'll play and we'll react. So let me pull up this first one here.
Hey, this is Will from Chandler, Arizona. I just wanted to tell Augie that he's my favorite player and that Dallas is going to win.
I love that.
Thank you. Bye.
Do you know who that is? Will from Arizona?
Was it maybe Will Schaefer? I know that probably. He said he was going to leave a message. Yeah. But if so, Will's a dog. Yeah. He's going to be a serious problem in the game.
Is Will Schaefer the pickleball gymnast?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's funny.
All right. Next one, which will probably be more of a question.
Hey, guys. This is Ben from Real Clear Sets. With Augie as a guest, there are now two math guys and Thomas. I was curious, Augie, what pickleball stats do you think are the most important and what stats haven't you seen in the sport that you would like to see in the future?
Awesome. Yeah, shout out to Ben. Yeah, love the work that he's doing at Real Clear Stats. Admittedly, I haven't seen like a whole lot or studied a lot of like the stats that he's put out simply because I wasn't in MLP and I might've been a little salty, but yeah, I would love to see like a stat, I think with MLP versus like PPA, how like kind of on kitchen percentage might be different in like win probability because like MLP with rally scoring, like if you don't make it to the kitchen, I feel like it might hurt you more. So it would just be nice to like see like a concrete stat about that.
And then how that differs sure between traditional and Major League Pickleball format.
Absolutely. Yeah. So like if it's worth it to just try to like baby a third in or baby a serve in and try to make your way, or if it's even worth it to be risky at all on your thirds in MLP versus PPA. That'd be exciting to see.
Explain to me why that's different, or why the philosophy or approach might be different between the two formats.
Yeah, I think primarily just because if you like miss a third, kind of being a little riskier on it, then you lose the point in MLP, whereas in PPA, you don't. And in PPA, you kind of, in traditional scoring, you might need to take some risk on thirds sometimes in order to like get yourself on a run or something. Whereas if you're just like scoring back and forth in MLP, there's no huge sense of urgency to try to string many points in a row, like unless you're down. Yeah.
Do you agree with that, Zane?
How much time do we have left on this podcast? No, I don't necessarily disagree. I just think there's a lot of like nuances here, because you have to take into account like what percentage of points you're normally going to win on serve. Regardless of whether you're playing PPA or MLP format, you can probably determine what percentage of points you're going to be winning on your serve, right? So let's say that amount is 40%. Now you have to factor in, okay, does adding risk on my serve in MLP warrant the reward in the beginning of the point? Once the point is neutral and you're both at the kitchen, you can assume it's kind of like a 50-50 point. There's no real advantage. So the only real difference in strategy that should occur between the two formats would be within those first 2-3 shots of the point. So there are some things that like we can probably learn in that regard.
Cool. Okay. All right.
Love that.
That's all we got. Zane looks like he's ready to take a nap. Augie, appreciate you coming on. Good luck with everything. In Los Cab and beyond. And that's Picklepod.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, guys. I'm a big fan again, so I appreciate it.
Okay, now that's Picklepod.
Yeah, Picklepod. Okay, get the hint, Augie. Thanks for coming.
All right.
Picklepod.
Yeah. Picklepod.
Hey, there it is.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, Tyler has a